from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else. I just have to say hello to all the stations that take Postcard from Poprad all across the world. There's too many to mention now, but well done for joining in with us. It's incredible. All the stations are mentioned at the beginning of the show, actually. So if you need to tune in, have a listen. How do you do that? How do you find out where we're on if you've got to listen at the beginning of the show? That's a bit weird, isn't it? Anyway.
True.
Do we all right know who Kirsty Allsop is?
Well, yes, because you sent me this piece of paper in front of my face about an hour ago, and now I know who she is. Bless her.
Is that the only way you know?
And I know also what her problem is.
Have you been through the same thing?
Yep.
Really? Well, let me very briefly say.
No, I haven't, but, I'm not that age yet.
You're not 85? No, you're not. No, you're not. Very quickly then, I'll fill the ladies and gentlemen in with what this story is about. Kirsty Allsop is a sort of middle class, very, very sort of, well, yeah, middle class, I think that's as far as we can go, young lady who, for some reason, has ended up on television in the UK on various shows, all to do with middle class pursuits like how to make your house look nice and things like that. Nothing wrong with middle class, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not knocking middle class. It's one of those things that some people aspire to be. Anyway, she's got really angry about the fact that her mother-in-law, who is 85, can't buy herself a new phone because her credit rating doesn't exist. And the reason her credit rating doesn't exist is because she's never borrowed money. So now she's not allowed to buy a telephone. That is amazing, isn't it?
She's being punished for having no debt.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's incredulous to me. I remember actually, and it's not that long ago because I'm still pretty fresh, when I was I had my first job out of school and I wanted to open – I'd had a bank account before but clearly no credit on it because I was a minor – and I wanted to get...
Did you work down the mines?
Sorry?
Did you work down the mines?
No, worse. I was in sales.
Ooh.
And yes. And I wanted to... all my friends, we were all going overseas, and I wanted to get a loan to add some pocket money to my trip overseas. So a very small one, only $1,000. Very small amount of money. Mm. But because I'd never had any debt, they wouldn't give it to me. Do you know what they made me do? Because I was 18 and a bit stupid. They said, you need to have a credit card. And then once you've accrued a credit rating, then we'll lend you money. And I said, but I don't want a credit card. My father had always talked about how evil credit cards were, and he was right.
Absolutely, yeah, of course he is.
And
yeah.
So my dad said, never ever buy anything you don't have the money in your hand to buy. And I thought that was very wise, but I couldn't get a loan. I couldn't get anything because I had no credit rating. It's amazing. This is a universal stupidity.
It is because basically what's happened is that she'd never borrowed money. I've had loans in the past, but not very many. And she didn't pay her utility bills by direct debit. Listen to that, everybody.
Yeah, that establishes a credit rating.
Yeah, she didn't pay her utility bills by direct debit. So it's not that she wanted to borrow money. It's not that she wanted anything like that. All she wanted to do was go to the Carphone warehouse. Yeah, Carphone warehouse. We're naming and shaming everybody this week. Mm-hmm. Right, Carphone warehouse. She went there to get a phone and she was told that she couldn't buy a phone and a contract with O2 because she didn't pay her bills by direct debit. How awful is that? In Slovakia, Petra, we have a different way of looking at things because people don't really have a great deal of debt in Slovakia, do they? Credit cards and that kind of thing are not something that's really big in your society, is it?
It used to be like that. Credit cards still people are being very careful with. Because they know how much interest they charge on it. But we have companies similar to banks, but they're not state companies, and they actually tell people, oh, within 24 hours you can have this and this amount of money, and people actually, especially before Christmas time, they go and borrow, and they don't realize how much they have to pay back.
So, do you have devils?
Do you have things over there like payday loans?
Oh, those are terrible.
Well, that's it. Yeah, 2004. It's a pay. What you do? You borrow money off a company, off a money lender. Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember what happened to money lenders in the old days, where Christ went and kicked over the tables and destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's well the sort of people who do this. Money lenders. There's somebody else we should name and shame. Money lenders. Banks.
They prey on the vulnerable. They prey on the vulnerable.
Do you know, Rachel, what percentage money payday loan people charge over here? Up to more than 2,000%.
That's crazy. They're not allowed to do that here.
I know.
We have legislation stopping
them. They're
trying
to stop it here. We have people like this here, and usually they go to these places where they know people don't have money.
And do you know what? The mafia charge less.
Yeah,
they do. They'll only take they won't take 2,000%. They'll just take a thumb or a finger or something. But they're gentle,
isn't it? Yeah,
and they're gentlemen about it.
The leg, yeah, exactly. Pay through the nose.
Gentlemen about it though. They've got an honor code and they dress very well. But these charlatans who come along, they say to you, "Oh, just give us your pay slip so that we know how much, or show us your bank statement, and we can see how much money goes in, and we'll tell you how much we can lend you." And then as soon as you borrow it off them, as soon as it's direct debited out of your account straight back to them, and the idea is that they get you into a cycle of robbing Peter to pay Paul. So every week you have to go back to them because you're short every week because you had to pay them back from the previous week.
Absolutely.
It's the devil. It's the devil.
But there is actually very little difference apart from the percentage rate between that and credit cards, is there?
There's no difference.
Credit cards are a heinous crime which have been perpetrated on. Yeah, absolutely. Here, I'm going to do one now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else, over there on the left has just said that I won't shut up. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to shut up now, and the two young ladies can discuss this between themselves, because this doesn't happen in England.
Wow.
Okay, so
they didn't do this survey in Slovakia, so I can't say.
I don't know. I don't know who they were doing it on. I think they were doing it on the drunk and the pot smoking. But there's a sex survey that's appeared, and apparently Australians are having less sex but broader experiences. Now,
what does that mean? Experiences?
They're having a broader range of sexual experiences, but
does that mean you're just
getting
fatter?
No, yes, or you're having sex with fat people, or I think that you're also having a kind of a buffet situation where you're choosing from various different plates as opposed to sticking to your meat and three veg.
Meat and two veg in this case.
Yes, well that's true too. But they're saying that it's in heterosexual relationships, if both the man and the woman are interested in having more sex and would like to have more often, it's often the man who is driving the frequency. Well, nobody needed a survey to realise that. But I think this is all about the heat in Australia, just quietly. I think we're all too hot and you can't bother having sex.
I do understand that. Yeah, I do understand.
It's exhausting. In Darwin, you don't have sex at all, because if you do, you will dehydrate and you will die.
You'll just a stain on the mattress.
You will. You'll be only visible to people under a black light, and that's a shame. But I also think that there's another way of looking at this. I think,
Rachel,
maybe that we're not having.
Where do you live?
Oh, in Melbourne now. Okay. And I'm very much alive, so that goes to show you what class I was jumping into. abstinence.
It's a hard grow fonder.
It does, but I think that now this actually means that instead of having lots and lots and lots of sex, we're just having really good
sex. Yeah, once a year,
right.
But it's really good. It's like Christmas.
It's awesome.
Only comes once a year. Yeah. Exactly. What?
Do you have sex?
I've never had sex. I think it's disgusting. Yeah, I think it should be banned.
Same to me. I make laugh.
Yeah. No, me and Petra, we've never had sex,
no,
have we?
No, we make love. We don't have sex.
We do, we do. She's just admitting it to the world. Petra, you know, and I what? Make love.
Yes, me and you.
Just me and you.
This story really does, it is a mildly disturbing because they're leaning also towards the fact that there's also...
Are you just jealous?
A lot of individual entertainment rather than doing things together. So, you know, people are more solitary, well, I guess, in Australia.
Right.
I don't know. They're blaming it on people taking their work home with them and sitting up in bed doing their email and, you know, all that kind of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know much about much, but I do know this.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for sex between emails, isn't there?
Exactly.
Your bedroom is your sanctuary, and it must be hygienic for nocturnal and amorous activity. You can't have devices such as mobile phones or iPads or computers or televisions or anything like that in your bedroom because, one, you don't sleep well, and two, you will email. I'll be more interested in checking my Facebook and my Twitter feed and my Instagram than I would be having a snuggle with my Robbie.
There you are, Robbie. I hope you're listening and I hope you've got that and I hope you realise that she wasn't forced into saying that. Nobody held a gun against her head and I'd be going back to the mines.
So what's the outcome that he has to
take? The outcome is nothing. It's just that we've talked about sex on the show for 10 minutes.
No, we really like each other extra specially at the moment because he's 3 weeks away. He's 3 weeks living in another part of the country and he's only home 1 week a month. So we like to hold hands.
So when he
frequently.
Comes home, he has to take all the electronic stuff away from the bedroom.
Yeah, well, yes. Exactly. I don't know what you mean, you naughty girl. That's disgusting. You shouldn't have said that.
Okay, then let's move on and I'd rather talk about
speaking
anaconda.
Oh, right. is this real madness? Is this the real madness? I watched a show last night, late on. It was called something, I can't remember where it was, but it was Towing Cars Away. It was a series of programs about repossessing cars. I couldn't believe
it. Yes, I know that's stupid.
No, yeah, but it wasn't that one. It was another one. It was just awful. It was
British
absolutely
one?
Terrible. No, well, this was an American one. It was just awful. I've never seen such. We actually had a program about 2 years ago about awful parking. They actually made a program about people who couldn't park the cars. What's happened to telly?
So it was all about you then, yeah?
I'm brilliant at parking. I have a Bentley, dear. My Bentley parks itself. So this is probably, to my mind, the worst thing that's ever been perpetrated on the televiewing public, which is everybody in the world. There is a wildlife filmmaker.
Yes. Right?
Who's going to be eaten alive. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be eaten alive by an anaconda who is then going to regurgitate him and spit him out.
I have major problems with this because of the animal cruelty thing to begin with. You know, these reptiles don't these animals don't just eat things, they crush them to death and then they swallow them.
That's
so
right.
And things are a lot smaller than a human man. They don't have the jaw capacity to be able to do it. Now, the other thing that I'm confused about is this snake-proof suit this man's wearing. I'm assuming to protect him from, acids and things like that.
Mm,
so it's going to be like eating Blackpool rock for the poor anaconda, isn't it?
It's really horrendous.
Anaconda will spit him out before he gets in.
Yeah,
If Discovery Channel want to go ahead and air this, I think they're really in dangerous water here. I really do. I think this is very dangerous to do.
I think it is. I think it's amazing. Basically, what's happened is this bloke is called Paul Rosalie, who actually is quite a well-known naturalist. And he's invented a snake-proof suit, which will actually allow him to be swallowed alive by an anaconda. And because the anaconda won't be able to crush it because of this suit, like I say, it'd be like eating a piece of rock. What are you going to be able to do? It isn't going to do the snake any good, is it? A whole grown man. No. And when you think about it, the Discovery Channel is actually what has always been thought of as quite a respectable channel, hasn't it?
Mm,
and all of a sudden, for it to go down this route. I just, I'm really, really,
they've been sitting on the fringe of doing this sensationalist stuff for a little while now. Some of their reality based, you know, mockumentary type deals are really bordering on dodgy. Some of them are, you know, Yukon Men and Deadliest Catch is actually pretty good, and I like it. But, you know, Gold Rush, it's all become a bit comical and a bit silly.
Yeah.
And they are feeding into this whole idea of this, you know, crazy reality, or even, I don't know how much of it's actually real, to be honest with you. But, you know, a lot of it seems to be fairly forced and scripted, if you ask me. But they've been bordering on it. They've been bordering on it, and they've been losing a little bit of credibility. But when they separated from the Animal Channel, everything became very strange. But this is outright lunacy. If they go ahead and air this, they are going to, oh, the backlash is going to be enormous.
I think so. What do you think, Petra? I know you have snakes house in Slovakia.
I think this show is what people are able to do for money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think
they get viewers. He gets money for doing this, and I don't know.
it's the television thing, isn't it? Television in Slovakia. Do you have all these reality shows in Slovakia?
We're not as bad as the UK or maybe other countries like USA, but we do get them.
Well, it is, but surely, you know, they are the lowest common denominator that you can possibly ever.
Oh, they really are.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something else.
It's all about money. That's all about money.
Exactly, yeah.
It's cheap to produce, and people want their 5 minutes. These plonkers on the Geordie Shore and the Jersey Shore and all this kind of business, it's just complete rubbish. And anybody in their right mind, you know, Made in Chelsea, something we get barraged with, you know, I'm not, what? I don't care about these people. This, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I've never heard of you. I don't know who you are. Go
actually,
out of here anyway.
I quite like that.
I hate it. I think it's just puerile. And I won't watch it.
It is puerile, but it's funny.
I won't watch it. I really think it's stupid. But to go to this extent and do this on television, I mean, you know, they had the Flying Willem and they had the guy doing his skyscraper walk the other day in Chicago.
That's right,
that was crazy to watch. But this guy,
considering his father died doing the same thing a few years.
Right, but he did the Grand Canyon a couple of years ago, and now he's done this skyscraper walk in Chicago, the windiest place on the planet. And I think to myself, that's nuts. But you know what? He's not hurting anybody but himself if he plummets to his death.
Exactly. Unless it's something underneath when he plummets.
This thing is openly putting something else in danger that cannot speak for itself as to whether or not it wants to participate in this. So, you know what, I hope the snake kills him just quietly.
This way, the one thing that struck me yesterday, it's something that obviously is something that's quite strong in my mind. It's about the fact that, like, we won't go into this story, but the new press charter, which is apparently going to threaten small newspapers and charities, etc. And the government's legislation, which is going to have what is described as a chilling effect on free speech. And it struck me that because of all the wars, particularly that Britain and America are involved in, and also other countries, Australia included, that it is frowned upon if any newspaper or any form of media shows the true effects of war, what it really is like. We don't want people to know what it's like to see somebody killed. We don't want to see what a dead body looks like, because that's reality. And yet, one of the biggest forms of entertainment we have is film, which is almost all based on horror stories or war stories or things like that, where we are treated to a whole gamut of dead bodies, of shootings, of people being murdered in the most horrendous ways you could ever consider, and that is classed as entertainment. But yet we're not allowed to see what the reality of war is, because it might offend us. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is stupid. I mean, there is, you know, there's clearly, it's not, when you're watching something on television or in a movie, in the back of your mind, subliminally, you know that it's not real. However, the very notion of the death and the murder is real.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I don't see how they can differentiate between the two. I just think this is utter hypocrisy.
I do, and there's a story which I think is I'm a tabloid journalist. I've always been what's classed as a red top, and so this kind of story always fascinates me. But it's because it shocks me. It shocks me that things like this happen in the world. And there is a row between the US Navy SEALs about who actually shot Osama bin Laden. I can't believe that actually this has become a cause in the American forces, that ex-Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill says, I shot him. Somebody else says, no, you didn't, you missed. I shot him. Does it matter who shot him? This is disgusting that people can actually argue about who they murdered.
Well, it ires me. This argument makes my blood boil, because Navy SEALs, like any special forces anywhere, have a very strict code of anonymity even after they leave the forces.
Exactly,
and a code of silence, because if you tell everything, people will know how you operate. So, you know, it's pretty I don't know anything about anything, as I'm constantly saying, but I know that much. You keep shush about it so people don't know. But if you have to go around telling people that you did this and you did that, then you're dishonouring the code of what you stood for to begin with, and it really makes my stomach turn.
It is. It is. It's terrible. Yeah. Okay. Osama bin Laden needed removing from this earth. There is no doubt about it.
We don't care who did it. We just care that it happened.
Yeah, as long as it's done.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just think it's appalling. I just think it's incredible. And here's another one that I think is a really funny story.
I think this is hilarious.
Which one? No, we're not doing that one.
Oh, no? Okay. This other one's brilliant.
This is brilliant.
Yeah,
a Turkish company has inadvertently used an image of the imprisoned Al-Qaeda figure Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in an advert for hair removal products. How can you make a mistake like that? They picked a picture, probably off the internet at random, showing this bloke who everybody knows, if they've seen his picture, is a bit hirsute. He's got hair coming out the top of his shirt, his hair's all over the place, he's got a big beard, and they picked that to
that man's name to me, and I know the exact picture that you're talking about.
Mohammed.
Yeah, I know the exact. He's in a singlet, and he looks really dreadful. But it's. Do you know what? I love what they said. The guy is quite hairy, so we thought his body was a good fit for our ad. Awesome. Ever thought about hiring an actor who's hairy? I mean, you're in Turkey, for crying out loud.
This never used to happen in the past. You had to do what you said, like hire an actor or get somebody in or something like that. But they say the picture was taken from a social networking site. Well, actually, what you don't realise, you idiots, is probably that picture is copyrighted. It belongs to somebody because it expresses a very important story about the world. And you've used it I'm glad you used it. I'm glad you made such idiots of yourselves.
Mm-hmm. I bet your cream doesn't actually remove any hair. It'll probably grow hair.
Very quickly, we're going to go to New Zealand again now. Fake forgeries, which are going to be auctioned. What amazes me about this, if these are fake forgeries, doesn't that mean they're actually real?
Yes, because, otherwise it's an oxymoron, isn't it?
We're back to him again.
Yes, Mr. Oxymoron, bless him. The moron with an oxytorch. I'm really befuddled by this. The fakes. What? And how did they get auctioned? I love New Zealand. They're so clueless.
I know. It just amazes me, really. But it is actually quite a nice story. They are imitations of Claude Monet's At Giverny and In the Woods at Giverny, which are two really well-known paintings. And it was initially thought that they were forged by Elmer de Hoery, right?
A really famous faker.
And now they found out they're not. So
So they're really, really not worth anything.
Exactly. So they sell them as fake forgeries. I think that's amazing. Here's one of the most horrendous stories of...
Oh, this is awful.
Yeah. What about this, Petra? Are you going to introduce it?
No.
Okay. Right. This bloke, right, this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We've checked it out. This is the truth. There's nothing made up about this story. A bloke who was a bit fed up, Jose Calzada, age 35, he was a bit fed up. So he put a call into a suicide prevention hotline. It was 4 a.m. in the morning, and he threatened to kill himself. And 7 hours later, after the police had come round to his house, there was a siege and the police shot him. Well, they helped him out, I know, but blinking heck. Surely, yeah. If somebody's threatening to kill themselves, you do a bit more than shoot them.
Well, you know, assisted suicide's, you know, a hot topic in the news at the moment. But
I'll be horrible when I say they made his wish come true.
I know! Yeah.
Sort of, or did they? Because, you know, if you really want to kill yourself, you don't ring
you
a
don't
suicide
ring anybody.
Hotline.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very good point.
You just,
very good
just
point.
Go ahead and do it, because you don't. Honestly, you don't have the presence of mind to ring anybody and ask for help. You're that much in the abyss that you sort of just go on with what you're going to do. But these guys have, you know, there's been a huge error, and oh dear, and he's been shot, and you know there was no way they could. They could know, I don't know. This is just a really bad mistake.
It is. But, well, that's what
they say, isn't it? It brings us back to this whole, you know how the police these days, and you see it on, again, we get back to reality shows, but we get all your British reality cop shows as well as our own. And the police these days have to be counsellors, and they have to be, you know, mental health experts, and they have to be, and they deal with so much in their line of work now that purely is based on something that's drink-related, drug-related or mental health-related. And you can see how they – but they're not – it's not they're not enforcing the law as they have thought they're going to do when they, you know, enter the force. They're now becoming counsellors and, you know, paramedics. And
well,
it's a very slippery slope. Their job scope has really changed as time goes on, but again, they shouldn't be in a position where they have to deal with this situation. They should.
Well, you say, yeah, but the thing is, Rachel, in this case, it was actually a mistake made before they got there because they sent out.
It was a terrible mistake.
Yeah, they sent out these people when they should have actually sent out a crisis response team. But this isn't the first time it's happened. This isn't the first time that this has happened. A bloke called Jason Turk. Made a 911 call. Oh no, his wife made a 911 call saying he was feeling a bit sort of suicidal, and the police came round and shot him in the face. I can't believe it. And then there was a Christian Albert Sierra who was suffering from depression at the time and was about to attend, and so they shot him and killed him as well. Last story coming up, because we've finished this show. I can't believe it's gone so bad, and I'm staying out of this one because I've never had problems with rubber ducks. I have a rubber duck in my bath. I do. I nicked it from the Hilton. Come and get me, Hilton. I nicked your yellow rubber duck. And it's in my bath. It's been there forever. And it's not anything that's happened to me. Rubber ducks can kill your sex drive, says somebody who I can't remember. Oh,
yeah,
the
but
University
they're talking
of
about
Rochester.
Women. They're talking about women. Not
yeah.
Women. So you class yourself as a woman?
Sometimes.
You know what? When I'm in the bath, I don't bathe in a bath anymore. I'm strictly a shower person. No, I hate sitting in a bath. I don't like stewing in my own filth.
Exactly.
When I broke my wrist a couple of years ago, and unfortunately it was set 40 degrees the wrong direction by the hospital that initially saw me. So I went through about 3.5 years of surgery and plaster casts and all sorts to fix their mistake. And of course, I couldn't have a shower that entire time. I had to sit in the bath. So I've actually got a real phobia about baths now. But when I used to enjoy a bath prior to that, I didn't want to have sex after my bath because I was really tired.
But I prefer baths to showers because, in all honesty, I can't breathe in the shower.
Well, doesn't your head hit the fan as well?
I don't have a fan.
Because you're that tall?
Oh, I do. I have a couple of fans. Yeah. No, it's it's what it is. It's the heat. I can't do saunas or anything. I can't do anything that has steam in it like that, because it's just like a hot cup of tea. Palpitations. Yeah, it's terrible. That's
no,
why
I
drink tea.
So to close it up, Rachel doesn't like a bath.
No.
And
Lee
I
does.
Do.
And I don't, so it's two against one. We don't use rubber ducks. That's the end of the story.
That's the
we
end
have
of the
to
show.
Go.
That's it. Say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Say goodbye, Petra.
Goodbye, Petra.
Say goodbye, Lee. Goodbye, everybody. Hope you feel better soon, Mr. Wiltshire.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-O.